I'm not saying don't beg. Let's say don't beg. You can negotiate because sometimes they allow negotiation. Okay, pay this amount. But anything you pay goes into government coffers, is receipted. Okay, come, let me help you. You know, the money is 25,000, but I see you're a gentleman. You know, the way they lead you into iniquity. I can see you're a gentleman. And you have a lot of things to do. Let's just settle this thing here. So what? Just pay 5,000. Say, oh, thank you very much. Where's the receipt? Ah, oh God, this kind of 5K, not get a receipt. They say, no, pastor said no. If you can't give me official receipt, I shouldn't pay. Listen, being a Christian is not only about blessing. It's about what? Sacrifice. What marks Christians out is what? Sacrifice. I heard a preacher say it. He said Christians are not marked by blessing. What marks them out is their ability to make sacrifices. You know, I always like to get there. That is why you're only a jaguda if you only give money because somebody promised what you are going to get. What did I say? Let me say it again. You're only a jaguda if only... Jaguda is a word for thug, for crook. No, sometimes, you know, I was thinking about it again. I think it was yesterday or today. I said, so I saw some things. Right? I went out, so I was seeing people, you know, doing spiritual, in quote, things. I said, look, I said, all these things I would do just because of what God will give us back. Now, wow. How many people actually do these things because they really love the thing they are doing and they love the Lord? Listen to me again. The thing that marks us Christians is what? The ability to sacrifice. It's not that I gave and I got. That's not the testimony of a Christian. The testimony of a Christian is that I gave and I did not care the consequences. Are you getting my point? All right, please, I needed to emphasize that. All right, let me get back to the story I was telling about doors being closed. I've not forgotten what I was saying. I only need to point that one out. So this man I'm talking about, I heard the story. He contested an election at that into House of Reps, one of the legislative houses, either the upper or the lower one. And as it is with most elections in Nigeria, the opponent that lost will challenge it. Not because he felt that you didn't win, but because he hopes that he will be able to use another way to collect the thing from you. And in this particular situation, it was rumored that his opponent bribed the tribunal people heavily. Now, there are two problems. One, he wasn't going to bribe anybody. Two, he did not even have the money to do it, even if he wanted to. You know, there are sometimes that righteousness is easy for you because you don't have the other option. According to Catherine Kuhlman, it was very easy to obey God because she had nothing to lose. That her whole life had been waste. That is, her life was a mess. She didn't have anything again. She had married somebody else's husband, and finally, the Holy Spirit didn't let her rest, so she had to leave the husband that was never her own. She had not every door was closed. Her friends had gone. She said it was very easy to obey God when you have nothing to lose. All right? So in this particular situation, this brother too, it was like that. Bribe, he didn't have the amount of money his opponent had. Number two, which was very convenient for him, he was a believer and he was not allowed to do it. Let's put it like this. All the doors were closed. Going to the tribunal, physically speaking, it was the Red Sea. Look behind him, Egyptian army. There was no way he was going. And brethren, the person telling the story, said, brethren kept on praying for him and kept on encouraging him. Their pastor would share word with him and encourage him. Let's make a long story short. I can't remember the details, but shortly before the tribunal finished sitting and read their judgment, one crisis broke out about one person being corrupt, the other one not being corrupt. You know, there was a time that two big men were fighting in Nigerian judiciary. They just came and dissolved all the tribunals and reconstituted new ones, and they started hearing again. This time around, everybody was watching them with telescope, periscope, you know what I'm saying? All the scopes were on them. So everybody like, please don't leave me alone. I want to live longer. They listened to the cases straight, all right? Heard the evidences and ruled in his favor. Listen to me. He won the case despite all the odds. Every natural thing said this man will lose because of the way things were going. But I told you, there was one door. You know, those people didn't understand. That this your tribunal is a sea. I will part it. Please, I hope you are getting my point. That is why it's very crucial as a Christian that you never give up hope. Especially when you have identified that this is the problem. I've heard once a friend of mine, He was working in a place he did not like. I don't understand everything I understand now, but at least I have some understanding then. And I said to him simply, what do you really want to do? No, he said that the problem is money. And let me say it to you again. I'm just saying many things. We are closing, right? Let me just say many things. If you ever heard any businessman say his problem is money, just know he has no business he's doing. Should I say that again? Oh, you heard it. Once I have spoken twice, you have heard it. Let me say it to you again. No, once I went to preach in the church, I said, I was praying as part of my praying. I say, in the name of Jesus, that money you are looking for to do start your business, may nobody give it to you. Even the pastor, my friend, he was like, Pastor Banky, what's up? I said, did you hear what I said? He said, let me say it again. You have been looking for money to start that business. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will not find it. Like, okay, where you bring this kind of pastor from? I said, listen, I know what I'm saying. And if you want, I will say it a third time. That was my prayer for them that day. Now, the prayer was in context. Are you getting my point? Because God will send you help. Did I hear an amen?
Yes.
Yeah, but the prayer was, there was something about it. Let me get back to what I was saying. If you see a man, they say, what happened with your business? Yeah, the problem with this business, no capital, no money. Tell him, Pastor Banky said, you have no business. If you had a business, this talk would not be in your mouth. Go and read the book, Henry Ford, My Life and Work. He said one thing he never did was to borrow money to do business. He said, I will build a car from everything I have, and I will sell it. And build another one, I will sell it. Eventually, I have enough money to build two. So I found out that when people lend you money, they tie you also. They don't let you do what you really want to do. He tried a number of times. He said, no, I won't do it again. All the years he ran Ford Motor Company, one thing he always refused was to borrow money, especially from a bank. Now, please, we're not talking business now, but please, you understand things I'm saying in context. This is what I'm trying to make. If you ever see a man tell you the reason why I can't do my business because there's no capital, tell him, I said you should tell him that he's lying. There are one or two things. One, he doesn't have any business he's thinking about. Or number two, he's a greedy man. You see a man who's not doing anything. So what do you want to do, man? If I can just get money. Into what? You want to start lifting crude? You want to start lifting crude oil? You have not lifted vegetable oil. Palm oil, you have not lifted. Engine oil, self. You understand my point? To lift from one filling station to another, you haven't done it. You are looking for who will lend you money. The other day, today in the paper I saw, they said Capital Oil is owing $48 billion. I said, Jesus, how can a man owe $48 billion? May you not owe $48 billion? It's a lot of money. So I told my friend that day, he kept on complaining, no capital, no capital. I said, listen to me, what exactly do you want to do? Because if you don't know exactly what you want to do, what are you doing with capital? This is another thing. I'm saying many things, but I'm sure I'm helping somebody. This is another thing. The man who's looking for capital. One day a man came and said, told me he wanted to buy a taxi. I should help him. I want to buy a taxi. I hardly know you are lending this amount of money to buy a taxi. Fine. Have you ever owned an Okada? No. All right, no problem. Let's continue talking. Have you ever owned a Keke Napep? No. No problem. I mean, you don't have to own. I didn't own an Okada or Keke Napep before I started driving a car. No problem. Have you ever driven a taxi for somebody else? No. And you are looking for money to buy a taxi, you're a thief. Tell your neighbor he's a thief. No, not that your neighbor is a thief. Just say to your neighbor, that guy is a thief. Are you getting my point? Sometimes people sit down and say that they have the truth is that they don't have problems. They don't even know what their problem is. You've never done any form of transportation? Then who told you? In fact, just by the way, if you lend that fellow money, you gave him an offering. And better enjoy it. It's a seed unto foolishness. How many of you have read this book, The Richest Man in Babylon? Remember that young man who saved up some money? He now gave to another man to go. He gave money to a bricklayer to go and buy diamonds so that they can sell. The man said, how do you give money to a mason to go and buy diamonds? That is, the man had not seen the outcome. He said, okay, at least your lesson in life Of course, by the time that one came back, they sold him glass. Polished glass. Listen, I'm bringing an issue here. When people come sometimes and tell you that, listen, this is a problem they have, a lot of times they have no problem. What's my message? If indeed that was a problem for you as a Christian, don't worry about it. Focus on that which you really want to do. You will eventually see God arrange a miracle. The miracle will come in a manner that will look almost natural. This is interesting, but people after you will think this is the easy way to do it. And many of them will drown trying to do what you did. Because what looks natural in your life is actually not natural. You know, before I used to argue with people, I told you. But this is, I don't like to argue anymore. Because I found out that what I am seeing, many people are not seeing those things. A lot of the counsel I give people, that's what I don't like. You know, people call me sometimes and say, good afternoon, sir. Please, I want to ask you a question. Who are you? And I know you don't know me. I don't know you and you want to ask me a question. I said, that's simple. Please, excuse me. I'm sorry, I don't offer counseling by phone to people I don't know. You want me to counsel you? You show up here, listen to me regularly for some weeks and months, then we can talk. You know the reason? One of the reasons is this. Many of the counsels I will give to a stranger will kill him. Because I'm not a common sense man. I'm a man of faith. That's why, you know, remember my anger against motivational speaker. They said, this man is a motivational speaker. I said, my friend, keep quiet. Have you ever seen a man motivate a corpse to walk? You can't motivate a dead man to walk. You can only motivate a man that can walk but does not realize he can walk, that he should get up and start walking. The words that I speak, all right, their spirit and their life. That is, I speak the word of God. They carry a spiritual substance that imparts life into those who obey them by faith. So if I don't perceive that you are a man, a woman that has been connecting with the word of God, I can't advise you. Because the things that I say that appear natural, they're actually not natural. If I tell you, don't worry, you can marry anybody from anywhere. I assume you're a Christian. You hear what I said? Yes, I assume what? Yes. You're a Christian. If you, a man, came out of a broken home, you go and marry a woman that came out of a broken home, both of you will come out of a double broke, you will produce a double broken home. Except you are in Christ. In which case, all things are what? Passed away. And they have become new. So if you hear me give counsel, I say, don't forget those things, my friend. They don't mean anything. I just, you know, instinctively, I assume you're a believer. If they tell you in this village, the masquerade, they chop husbands, believe them. Unless you're a Christian. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? My word is only for those who are believers. So I will tell you that, don't worry about it. If any masquerade come, you chop them. I assume you have teeth to chop masquerade. I hope you are getting my point. And you only acquire such teeth in Christ Jesus. So if a young woman comes, to me and says, hey, pastor, they said that in that area, any woman you marry from that day, after some time, man, the husband's neck will just bend. After some time, this will not happen. I said, don't mind them. Not that the guy asking me counsel is a Guru Maharaji follower. Then he goes to marry. After 6 years, his neck bends. He said, but Pastor Maggie, he said, I should not mind them. I said, oh boy, how come your neck bend? He said, I asked Guru Maharaji. He said, Guru Maharaji, I thought you were a believer. Do you get what I'm going to explain? When I say things like, you don't need anybody to finance your business, what I mean is this. Send us help from above. For vain is the help of man. I say that to believers. I'm not talking to unbelievers. When I say, look, God will just open doors, the breeze of God will begin to blow in a particular direction, and things will just appear natural. I assume whoever is listening to me has given his life to Christ. Because if breeze blows you and you are an unbeliever, it's only going to blow you into the Red Sea. You will drown with the Egyptians. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. You will drown with the Egyptians if you're not a believer. What am I saying? Listen, no matter how closed doors are, I'm back to that, because I have to close now. My time has really gone. No matter how closed doors appear to be, listen, there is a door. Tell your neighbor there's a door. Listen, that door, maybe nobody has seen it before. All your life you've thought this job. You came dancing. I finally made it. A year and 6 months after you started, they fired you. The first thing that comes to your mind is, hey, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do? But listen to me today if you're a believer. Take that sack letter. Some people say, I go to church. Enemy wants to take what is my own. You see, you know, ignorance is a terrible thing. This is how you pray. Say, the enemy that wants to take what is my own, that thinks he can, he should take it. And let us see. I hope you know Job never prayed about the devil. He did not even know that the devil existed. It's you and I that read a book and know about the devil. In the time of Job, he did not know there was an entity called the devil. So you take that letter and say, all my enemies, that say I won't make progress. Any enemy that can say I won't make progress, say it first. If you can say anything after that one, then my God is not alive. Because he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So please forget all of those things. You take that sack letter and rejoice and say, Lord, is this a key to a door? Is this a test for us to wait? But what is it? But you must never feel like, what will my father say? What will happen to my younger ones I'm training? This must be the thought in your mind. It's a commandment I'm instructing you. You say, well, we're training 3 people before. I'm sure God wants us to train 30. You hear what I said? If such thoughts come to your mind, because listen, some of those sack letters are keys to bigger doors. Let me tell this story, I close with it. Well, I hope to close with it. Amen? I've told you here, so I won't spend more time. Tunde Bakari said that he prayed. He went to Pastor E. Adeboye. Pastor E. Adeboye was raising money in church. Please, remember that our project we want to do. If God blesses you, bring money. So he went and met him and said, Pastor, just pray for me and these announcements will not be necessary. That is, he said he was angry with pastor coming to church every time saying that, we need to pay money, just pray for me. You are a man of God. If God answers that prayer, then this announcement will not be necessary. Just tell me, I know what I will do. So the man of God prayed for him and he left. That week, they sacked him from work. What did I say? He came back to the office and said, okay, I said, if you pray that I will prosper, not this kind of thing. He said, Pastor, yeah, the boy laughed. I heard him saying this. I was watching on TV. He said, if there was one day I felt like killing somebody, it was that day. One, I came to you to pray for me. Like Balaam, Balaam and Balak. The thing I said you should do, you have done the opposite. That's not even bad enough. You are now laughing on top of it. He said that day he felt like shooting the man. Then the man said to him simply, listen, the kind of prosperity you are asking me to pray about, they don't pay such things as salaries. Are you getting my point? Because of time, I can't tell the whole story again. I've told it here before, all right? Let's make a long story short. At that time, it was illegal because he's a lawyer of his experience to have private practice. It was not legal. A few days, maybe a few weeks after that, suddenly the Supreme Military Council or AFRC, whatever it was then, was one of the military regimes, they issued a decree making it legal for professionals of that particular experience or even less to own their own private practice. I can tell you, I am persuaded that decree was written for his sake. Because he said, Pastor Yadibu, I told him that, okay, listen, they have sacked you, go and start your own practice. And the man said, listen, you don't seem to know the law in Nigeria. It's not legal. A few days later, it became legal. He said the first job he got, the first brief he got, the money they paid him was 2 previous years' salary put together. I don't know whether you hear what I said. It was how many years? 2 years. Maybe it's even 3, he said, but let's just take 2. Salary put together. This is the point I'm making. The door was closed. But there was one door that only God was manning. There is one door around your life that God is watching. Let's read this scripture and then we'll close with it. It's the story of Hagar. Genesis 21, verse 17.
This was after Hagar had been sent out with only one container of water, and the water was finished in that bottle. And she thought she was the son, Ishmael, was going to die. And she was crying. In verse 17, the Bible says, "And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for the Lord has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in your hand, for I will make him a great nation." Verse 19, "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink." This woman was in the wilderness. Listen, you know the problem you have, the problem I have, the problem of eyes that are not yet opened. What did I say? The problem of what? Eyes that are not yet open. There is a way out of that situation. I believe those are the things that Jesus learned. When he said, "The multitude, they are plenty. They need to eat." So he just simply said, there must be a way out. Which food do we have? They said, once he saw food, let me tell you something else. I was telling you earlier about people say, "I don't have money for my business." All right? Tell the people, tell the person, "This is your phone. Let me look at it." Once the phone costs up to 10,000, I tell him, "Go and sell it." Because you can have, you can get phones that are 2,000 naira and they work. Nobody to talk. Then that 8,000 naira can make you a billionaire in a few years. That is the word of God. Tell your neighbor, what do you have? Ask the person literally. You're not joking. What do you have? Tell the person, there is something you have that can make you rich. That can make your business grow. That can be the beginning of your ministry. Tell the person again, there is something you have. Listen, once the Lord Jesus saw there was bread, I said, "That's enough." How do I know that? Once Elijah was praying, he told the servant, "What do you see?" He had prayed 6 times, 7 times. "What do you see?" He said, "I see even like cloud, but okay, it's just about the size of a man's hand." He said, "That's enough. Let's go. Something is about to happen." Are you getting my point? Listen, all Jesus saw was what? A little bit of bread. And he knew that must be the door that God has sent to get us out of this trouble. Please, I hope you're getting my point. This will sound funny, but a time came, they needed money urgently. And he remembered that Peter used to be a fisherman. He said, "Good. That's a good indication of what God wants to do. Rush to the waters, go and catch one fish." That will be the deliverance that we need in the midst of this situation. Listen, when people come and say, "I don't have money for my business," I always say this: you have enough money for the business that God is giving you now. The one you don't have money for is the one you want, but that God has not yet given you. The word is what? Yet. The emphasis is on what? Yet. It does not mean you won't get there. It does not mean you won't get there. The young man that said I wanted to buy a taxi, if he had told me, say, "Sir, please though, I feel like going into transportation. Do you know anybody that needs a driver?" Do you know what I helped him? Do you know his miracle will have come sharp, sharp? "Do you know somebody, sir, that wants a taxi driver? I think I'm a good driver and I will deliver his money." But when he said, "Look, I need half a million. Okay. "You don't get Okada before?" "No." "You get sleepers when they drive?" "No." "But you need a bank to finance a 4 million naira car for you." "No, tell the fellow, next time," he said, "Look, Pastor Banky said, you don't need that money." That day that I said that thing, like I told you, I was talking to believers. I was saying to them, in effect, you don't need that. Father Ruto, he said that to get a computer to start his business, he didn't have the money. So the first job he got, he negotiated. When they finished the deal, let's assume, all right, it was 100,000. He said, "Good. How would you like a 10% discount?" The man said, "I just negotiated hard with you to get this 100,000. Why are you offering me a discount?" "I will use your computer." "I don't have one. You have one." "No problem. I'll come to your office to do the work. For me coming to your office, you get a 10% discount." Some people would rather go to a bank and say, "Please finance the purchase of a computer." Listen, what you need, like I said, is what? eyes that are what? Open. What you need is what? Eyes that are open. You must understand this. Otherwise, you will be afraid. And for that reason, you will not be able to fulfill the will of God for your life. There are people, you know, oh God, time is gone, but let me say something. Now, we are closing, aren't we? Uh-huh. Many people want to, you know, they want to enter ministry. But once a man entered into trouble, they solved it later anyway. How did he enter into trouble? He wanted to enter into ministry. So how would he enter into ministry? Oh, so he decided to go and join himself to somebody so that they can open a branch and make him a pastor. So they can open a branch. If you believe in what somebody is doing and you are working with him, are you getting my point? There's no problem with that. Am I working alone in Kingdom World Ministries? Am I? No. Bishop Oyedepo has big men around him who are big enough to be bishops of mighty ministries themselves. But he said that's where God said they should be. And they are there. But instead of men ministry, they are looking for where to hide. I say to them all the time, you're a young man, you believe that God has given you a calling to teach the word of God. It doesn't have to be on Sunday. Is today Sunday? What's today? Saturday evening. In Nigeria, that's absurd. That's unusual. We should be at home relaxing from the weddings we went for. Today, I went for 2 weddings in the morning. But we are here. What some people call ministry is that, yes, now, oh, where you are? Pastor John, where have you been? Oh, praise God. You know, we just came back from Cameroon. And next week, we'll be in London. And after that, we should be in Buenos Aires. That's in Argentina, in case you don't know. But you see, and then... That's what they call ministry. So anything they are doing before then is we are still suffering. You've gotten my point. Listen, it doesn't have to be like that. Where you are right now, there is something that is ministry that you are supposed to do, and do as if that is all there is to do. The way I rush back to Enugu every Saturday, if some of you probably think I don't go anywhere, there are some Saturdays that I literally drive 5 hours to get back here to teach. The last one Yinka and I did, that was very interesting. I had given up on teaching, coming to Enugu that day. We all finished teaching in Benin. And somebody just said that, Yinka just, and the other guy just said that, we've collected the stuff. Oh, you've collected, you're supposed to pick up something for me. You have. We looked at the time. It was exactly, was it 4 hours? Yeah, it was 1 o'clock. I said, Yinka, we can make it. So I'm heading for Enugu. 5 o'clock, dot, we got to the, in front of that building. I ran across, instead of waiting for Yinka to turn. If you saw the way I was running back, you would think I pastor a 10 million man church. No. But if this is all I have to do, as long as Israel, we are producing the books and the CDs and they are going out and I'm getting emails that people are getting blessed, my brother, my sister, I'm not planning to stop. What am I saying? There is something that you will lay your hands on. Alright? It may not be big in the eyes of everybody. But that is the bread that God wants to multiply for 5,000. If you have that mentality, knowing there is all those doors, they are not all closed. Your own door is open. That's my message for today. If you understand that, you will never be discouraged. What did I say? You will never be discouraged if you understand that. Somebody says to you, I don't have a job. Tell them, Pastor Banky says a lie. There are jobs. The job in Shell, there are not plenty, I know. The one in Glow, there may not be many. But there are jobs. And if you do your own job, it might be a loaf of bread. It may be just a few loaves of bread. But listen, a time will come, it will grow, and it will feed 5,000 people. He didn't say amen.
Amen.
No matter how much it appears, like every door is closed, there is one door. In fact, Israel, today's message is titled, There is One Door. It's titled what? There is one door. No matter how much it appears like every door is closed, there is one door. And God himself is the one manning that door. And that will be your door to breakthrough. It will be your final door into the promised land.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks.